Hi, guys, and welcome to Say No to Me with Michelle S. And you're listening to episode 11. I can't believe it. It's been awesome these past couple of weeks, recording and chatting to so many qualified business owners and CEOs and experts and coaches. And it's been a great experience. Oh, I almost forgot to rhyme. So it's Say No to Me with your host, Michelle S., the one that's trying to lead you or help you to success. And that's my 11th rhyme. And I'm going to keep going until I get to 100. As usual, I am always so glad and excited to have amazing guests with me. And this week is no exception. This week we have Tom Glenhill. He's a former business owner and business broker. And he has many years of experience helping people in their businesses. And his topic this week, his theme that he's going to speak on, how to increase the asset value of your business, I think is something any business owner would want to know. So before I say too much, I just want to bring Tom in. Hey, Tom, how are you?
I'm very well. Thank you, Michelle.
Thanks for joining me. Where are you right now, Tom?
I'm in Cape Cod, and I'm in a suburb of Hyannis called Centerville. Mm-hmm. And the weather here today was gorgeous. It was about 55 degrees.
Oh, I'm jealous of that.
Blue skies and the sun was shining and I went for a walk on my trail. It was beautiful.
That's great because I think today I'm in Canada. So we got 9 degrees. Yeah, 9 above 0. So
wow.
It's a lot to boast about. So that's awesome that you're having good weather. So, you know, before we start, just tell us a little bit about yourself and your experience and what you're going to talk about today.
Yeah, you know, it's a little bit about my personal life. I have 4 children, 4 great children, and 12 grandchildren.
Wow. That's an army.
I even have 2 great-grandchildren.
Wow. So,
yeah. So I'm lucky to have a great family, and they're all in a within 50 miles of me. My oldest daughter lives about 50 miles away, and so she's the farthest away. So I'm fortunate to have them all around, and they take pretty good care of me. So. So we have a good time. My wife passed away a couple of years ago. She was sick for several years before that. And, so it's what I did was I sold my house and, built an extension on my youngest daughter's house. Mm-hmm. So I live with them and kind of, help out with taking the children to the bus stop in the morning and anything that they need. My daughter is a school teacher, so if anything happens to the kids, she just calls me and I go get them and bring them home. So as far as professionally, as you said, I've owned 4 businesses. Actually, I founded 5 businesses. I sold them all, and they were all before the internet era. Except for my brokerage business, that was during the internet era, but nothing was really online. So I've sold them all, and I've had the privilege and the fortune to have businesses that I developed, and I was looking from the inside looking out, and then when I get into brokerage, I was on the outside looking in.
Right.
So I've learned from both views, and they're totally different views.
Right.
And when my wife got sick, I started doing a lot of writing, and I wrote 4 books in that period, and 2 of my books became bestsellers. So one is called The Big Transfer, and the other is called Exit Pro System. Mm-hmm.
So what's the first book about?
I'm sorry?
What's the first book about?
Well, the first book Actually, the exit pro system is about positioning your company, increasing the business value. And it's, I did it for businesses that were going to go to going to market within a few year period. But it turns out that it's good for any business along the timeline, you know, for startups all the way through to the end. So it's a methodology that I developed to help business owners increase the value by themselves. I developed a system, and my book is about that system. And then I developed an online course to help those that needed more accountability and structure to help them develop and increase the value of their business by themselves. The second book, The Big Transfer, is really a step-by-step process of the sales process itself.
Right.
Experienced business broker goes through. So it has forms and documents and everything in the process of selling a company.
So with the first book, it sounds really close to what we're going to be talking about today, which is increasing your business's value. Are there certain steps that, like, in terms of steps, how many steps are we talking about, and what are they?
Well, to increase the business value, what I've done is I've identified 16 functional areas of a company, of a small business, and we call them value drivers. These are the things within a company that drive value. And there are things like the industry that you're in, you know, your company's reputation and branding, your product and service, and the competition. And then you have things like cash flow, growth. You have your key employees, your customer base, and things like that. And then at the high end, what I call the big hitter value drivers are things like scalability. And then you've got recurring revenues. And then you've got bankability. And then last but not least, intellectual property. So those are the things that can really add a premium value to your company. So I've developed really for each one of these value drivers a rating system. So they can, and broken down each one of them into component parts. For instance, the industry, you know, you've got the trend of the industry. What is it, trending up, down, or is it flat? You've got the size of the industry, you know, how many potential customers are there in that industry? And then you've got any government regulation that is imposed on that industry. So you, for each one of the value drivers, I've broken them down into component parts and allowed the business owner then to objectively value each one of the value drivers and put a rating on it. So then what I've also done is identify the business buyer types. Now you have strategic buyers, you have financial buyers, you have lifestyle buyers and industrial buyers. And each one of those have different wants when they buy a company. So what the business owner can do is he can try to match what the business buyer type wants to things that he wants to improve within his or her company. So they match what the buyer wants with what the company has to offer. And that maximizes the value of the business. But at any point in time, somebody can use it. Somebody that's been in business 3, 4, 5 years can use it because it creates a foundation for the business and allows them to do all of the things, you know, to have good cash flow, to grow, to be able to scale, to be able to get loans from banks and that sort of thing.
So going back a bit to the, what you just described, how do businesses do that research? How do you recommend that they find out what the market is like and all that. I've always wondered how or where, if there is a specific way to get this research. What's your advice?
Well, as far as you really have to do research on it, and it's easy to do, fairly easy to do that if you know what to look for. Mm-hmm. You can do it with Google. You know, you just search things with Google and there's a lot of information there.
Yeah.
But the key is knowing what to look for.
Right.
Or if you, it's not difficult for a business owner to increase the value of his company or her company if, you know, certainly they have to have the will to do it. They have to have the desire to do it, because it's not a magic bullet that all of a sudden appears. It's work. You know, and if somebody, the problem is a lot of these business owners are so busy working in their company that they don't have the time or the energy or the will to step back and look at their company. And what my system does, it allows them to identify what they need to look for. So that's, they don't have to do that, but they do, once they determine what it is that they need to look for, which I tell them, then they need to research it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, things are dynamic and things change. So you need to do the research, and you need to develop a plan, you know, to get from where you are now to where you want to be. Mm-hmm. And so it takes the will to do that. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes a business coach is required to implement the plan to keep the business owner accountable, you know, just to check on where the business owner stands in his plan to go get from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. And to hold him or her accountable.
So I along with the things you just discussed, what are the other ways to increase the asset value?
You know, within the course itself, there are things that the student needs to complete. There's a quiz at each one of the modules, and there are plans that he or she has to complete in order to move on to the next module. Mm-hmm. And it probably takes about a month to complete it. It working at a fairly regular pace. Somebody can accelerate it and do it in a couple of weeks, and somebody can take a couple of months. Mm-hmm. But when they get done with the course, what they have is a plan.
Yeah.
And they determine exactly what they need to improve within the company in order to appeal to that business buyer type. But then they need to implement the plan. And the plan might take a couple of years to implement it, because, you know, it's not like real estate when you're trying to sell a piece of real estate. Mm-hmm. You know, you get a landscaper in to make the yard look good. You slap a coat of paint on the living room wall. You do some minor improvements that take a couple of weeks, maybe. Improving a business usually takes a couple of years anyway.
So that person can just expect whatever you do in the course or whatever the plan is that they come up with, it's not something that's going to be overnight.
Never, no.
Okay.
You can't do it overnight.
So I guess it's customized, right? It depends on the plan that business owner has. You can't really tell them how long it's going to take.
No, every business is different. Yeah. And every business owner is different. You might have a business owner that really wants to get it done, and so they accelerate the process. Mm-hmm. But that's the course. Now, to implement the plan, it's difficult to do it in less than a year. I mean, if you think about what needs to be done, you might need to hire some new people. Then you have to train them. Then they have to come up to speed. Mm-hmm. You know, and all of the things that you might need to change, you might need to change your industry. And, you know, that can be done because a lot of industries very close to other industries. And if you get an industry like, for instance, a machine shop, I had a client years ago who was just about ready to go bankrupt because the machine shop business was being farmed out to China and India.
Mm-hmm.
And he came across a request for proposal from a medical device company to develop some tools for an orthopedic surgeon. And so he read the proposal and he responded to it and he won the proposal. And so now he's in another industry. Now he's in the medical device industry. And he did very, very well, ended up selling his company for a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And but it didn't happen overnight. You know, it took a good year and a half for him to convert his machinery and to reprogram his machinery for the medical device industry.
Wow. So aside from, you know, changing your industry, what are some of the other things you've experienced that businesses had to do to, you know, change their value?
Well, one of the keys is really having key employees.
Mm.
If you get good key employees or get good employees that can come in and you delegate to them, then they end up knowing more about their job than you do, you know, as the business owner.
Mm-hmm.
And it relieves you of the day-to-day operations. And that's a really a key in a good company. And that's really what people should strive for. Unfortunately, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of them are very macho, and it's a great feeling for them to be, you know, somebody that they need to depend on. But the best companies really don't need the owner to be involved in day-to-day operations. So the owner can focus on the future, can focus on growing the company. You know, can focus on coming up with new products, can do what the owner does best, and that is really being the visionary.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then you got cash flow, which is critical. You know, improving the cash flow, you need to, you know, cut costs. You need to be more effective and efficient. And that's basically what the program does. It makes the company more effective and efficient. So they end up making more money and their cash flow is better.
Mm-hmm.
And then the owner can step back and think, well, how do I grow this company? You know, and growing from year to year is that's another key value factor. You know, if somebody comes in and is looking at whether it's a banker, investor, or a business buyer, you know, if they come in and they look at the company and see that your growth is going downhill, you know, that's a kiss of death, really.
Yeah.
So you actually, you can make all of the value drivers, you can improve all of your value drivers. But the course, we have them focus on just three.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to improve all of them, but improve those that make the bankers, investors, and business buyers make it more appealing for them. So you can get a bank loan easily, or you have somebody invest in your company, or you can sell your company.
Yeah. Well, a lot of this sounds good for people that have like established businesses. But for like listeners who are just starting up, you know, looking to increase, I know it's not going to take a short amount of time, but what would be your advice to, like, you know, the startups?
Well, for the startups, I think that really you have to do your market research.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to make sure there's a demand for whatever you're doing.
Right.
And then what I would suggest is, you know, develop a business plan, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But don't feel that your business plan is cast in stone, because a business plan is a dynamic document. You've got to feel that you can change it. Because things change, the world changes, and it changes, now it changes very fast.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to develop the business plan and understand that you're going to be doing pivots. You're going to be changing your business plan. But another thing I would suggest also is that they become totally familiar with the business they're going into before they make the leap. And do that by immersing yourself in that business. Read all the trade journals you can get your hands on. Mm-hmm. Also, go to work for a company that does exactly what you want to do. You don't really even have to go to work for them. I mean, you can do it in a couple of months. You can be an intern, if you know, volunteer or whatever. But you can learn an awful lot by being in that company. And you could always tell the business owner that you're preparing for your thesis, for your degree or whatever. And in a way you are, your business plan. Mm-hmm. So, but really immerse, understand the business, do your market research, and then when you're ready, when you feel confident that you're ready, just make that leap.
So, yeah, I mean, so far I've been talking to a few coaches, and it seems to be super important to have a really good understanding of what you want to do, of what that business is. And I know you touched on it where someone had to change their industry, but what else could they possibly have to change as well?
Well, they have to have the proper mindset. Mm-hmm. You know, years ago, Michelle, many, many years ago, I read a book by probably the grandfather of self-development books, a fellow by the name of Napoleon Hill. Mm-hmm. He wrote a book called Think and Grow Rich. Mm-hmm. And I read that book several times, and I underlined the important parts of it, and I recorded what I underlined. And at the time, I was selling. I was a sales, I had a territory, and I would listen to this as I was driving through my territory.
Right.
So one of the things that he kept saying was, you have to have a burning desire for what you're going to do. If you're going to go into a business, you have to have a burning desire to do it. And that burning desire gives you the proper mindset. It gives you the persistence that you need, because you're going to need a lot of it. And it keeps you going.
Yeah.
You know, when you run into obstacles, you know, Napoleon Hill said, you know, treat obstacles as problems that are fun to solve, rather than, you know, have them beat you down. So you have to have the proper mindset going in. You have to have that desire. And if you don't have it, it's going to be very difficult, because there are going to be obstacles in your way that you have to go over, under, over, or through. You know, so mm-hmm. You have to have that proper mindset.
Yeah. I think that thought is something that you need in any kind of, not just business, but whatever it is that you're going after, because it's easy to give up. It's easy to just say, I'm done, I'm calling it quits. So I think that's really good advice. I think for anyone out there that wants to do your course, how do they get access to that?
Well, I have a website, and it's mm-hmm. called XIT Exit Pros, XITPROS.com. Mm-hmm. And in there, you can get to the course. I have a free workshop that people can take, and it leads into the course. It's you know, I have a free report on there. They can get my books.
Thank you so much for being on the show, and I am allowing you to share your info with the listeners. Just tell them as well, how else, if they just want to get in contact with you, what's the best way to do that?
Well, the best way, they can send me an email.
Mm-hmm. What's that email?
At Tom.
Mm-hmm.
At XITPROS.com.
Mm-hmm. And then your website, right?
Or they can go to my website. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good. Thank you so much, Tom. You've shared so much. What was the name of that book that you mentioned again? I feel like it's something I should go check out on my own.
Yeah, it's called XIT, Exit Pros, XIPROS, systems. Mm-hmm. And, if you could send me a mailing address, Michelle, I'll send you a copy.
That sounds good. That sounds really good. Thank you so much. And it's tradition. So before you go, I'm going to throw three words at you and you tell me the first three things that come to mind. Are you ready?
Yep.
Sheep.
What was that?
Sheep.
Beep.
Sheep. You know, like sheep.
Horn.
Horn. Steak.
Meat.
All-inclusive resort.
Hilton.
Hilton. I think you would say I want to go there. That's my that's what I would be thinking right now. But
yeah.
Thank you so much, Tom. As usual, I'm going to leave all your info in the details of this episode. And you all heard how to get through to Tom. And if you still need to reach out, just let me know. We'll get you in touch with Tom. And we're so glad that you were able to talk to us today and share your many years of wisdom. So thanks again, Tom.
Thank you, Michelle.